We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Red Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. A long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and it's great to welcome him to the Signature Bank Score Hotline. Signature Bank, making commercial banking personal. Big Z.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Yeah, the Bears lost. I don't know if you were following the end of the game, but it didn't work out as well as maybe some had hoped, and there were a couple of late interceptions, which may have spoiled what was a really good, glorious day for the quarterback. But unfortunately, they didn't get a hand on the other quarterback, and it was yet another Green Bay victory, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, they moved the ball a little bit there in the fourth quarter when they had to, which is more than we can say for those other fourth quarter opportunities they had this season, you know, when they've had the ball late and you're like, okay, big moment here for a lot of young players, and they, you know, couldn't move the ball at all. They moved it a little bit. They have the first interception on the hitch route to St. Brown, and then they get gashed for the add-on touchdown by Christian Watson, and then they had the second interception where that was a situation where, you know, you need to get a quick field goal there after maybe taking a shot at the end zone and then try an onside kick because you're down multiple scores. But Fields played better. There's no question about that. Green Bay's defense hasn't been stopping anyone, and the Bears' defense was terrible up front. Although, guys, I think you got to give defensive coordinator Alan Williams and his assistants and some of those rookie defensive backs some credit. They weren't amazing, but if you would have told anyone before the game that you're going to limit Rodgers to 182 yards passing, they're going to have a long completion of, I think, 21 yards with Josh Blackwell and Jalen Jones and Elijah Hicks back there, I think people would have taken it. So those guys played pretty well.
Yeah, and I think Aaron Rodgers was pretty respectful, actually, post-game, asked about that secondary and gave them some props, so that was nice to hear. Brad, when somebody asks you about this game in a week or in a month, when you look back big picture-wise, what will you remember most, or what was the most significant thing that happened Sunday for the Bears?
I think, you know, it's Fields coming back after being out with the injury, and I thought he looked a little bit better in the pocket, right? It wasn't perfect. It's never going to be perfect, but it looked like improvement to me. So I that's the thing I think that sticks with you. That's the thing you're hoping to see continue in the final four games. That's why, you know, they need to rest him, they need to shut him down crowd was just oblivious. These are opportunities for him to go out there and make improvements.
This segment with Brad Biggs is brought to you by global biotech company Horizon Therapeutics, where science and compassion work together to transform lives. And Brad, I guess when I look at this opportunity now, you would say that the Bears with the bye week, can they somehow develop a player? Can they somehow, I mean, the players aren't there, but can you force the defensive line to stay and do extra work? Can you figure out how to churn the roster even more and get yourself another defensive lineman? I mean, they did not touch the quarterback.
Yeah, and that was abysmal. They got to the end of the game, they had zero quarterback hits, and I thought to myself last night, I said, boy, this probably hasn't happened in a long time. How it's probably going to take me a while to dig this one up. And you go back and you look, and know on Halloween last year against Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, they didn't lay a finger on him. So it hadn't been that long. No, you're not going to all of a sudden develop a defensive lineman over the bye week and in the final four games. That's simply not going to happen. They're sort of grasping at straws at that position. What you will see on occasion late in the season, and the Bears have made two of those moves already, is potentially trying to poach a player off another team's practice squad. The Bears signed, obviously, the quarterback Tim Boyle away from the Detroit Lions because they were worried they would be undermanned. And then they signed Andrew Brown, a defensive lineman, from the Arizona Cardinals practice squad. And guess he actually had a uniform. He was up yesterday. He got out there a little bit. He made one play in the running game that I recall, but he was, he was barely out there. More snaps than I thought. 23 snaps for Andrew Brown yesterday. So you potentially could see another move or two in terms of signing a guy off someone else's practice squad, but no, there's not going to be crazy roster changes. But the mini buys seem to serve this team really well back in October after the loss to Washington. So you wonder if Eberflus's position coaches can come up with something to sort of challenge their players to get a little bit better here for the stretch run.
All right, Brad, so it'll take us till the end of the show to go through every quarterback you've covered or seen go to the podium after a Bears game at Soldier Field. But yesterday when Justin Fields did that, and he was very direct in his identifying David Montgomery and needing to run harder on that third down, and Equanimeous St. Brown needing to come out of that break and that route that it led to the interception, it was very direct criticism, if not by name, by position. How unusual is it for a Bears quarterback to be that honest and candid postgame?
It probably doesn't happen that often. Although, I'd hate to pile on Fields in this case for doing that, because I think the one thing that you get some reporters who are like, well, they never name names. They never name names, and then when they name names, they're like, can you believe it? He named names, like he called somebody out. So, it's easy for the coach and the quarterback to point out Equanimeous St. Brown's shortcomings yesterday. He's not going to be on the roster next season, okay? It's easy to understand why Jair Alexander would be squatting on every route that St. Brown ran. St. Brown was with the Packers. The Packers were very depleted at the wide receiver position at the end of last season. They did not attempt to re-sign him, and he left for the Bears on a minimum contract, okay? So you get what you pay for, and when Alexander's seen this guy in practice for years, he knows he can get away with that. He got burned on the one, but he said, the guy's just slow coming out of his breaks. He knew he had to play on the ball, so that's kind of what the Bears get. It's probably the quarterback and the coach stating the obvious about a big receiver who, doesn't play particularly fast, isn't particularly physical, and in that case was not a good route runner.
Brad, we already had a call from someone, and it wasn't David, looking to replace the kicker. Where are you at with...
Well, it's David's... it's his brother, okay? His brother was at the game yesterday.
Right, he was right. He's season ticket holder. He's upset and fed up with the kicker. Where do you think I learned it?
The feet of the master.
The kicker has missed, what, four extra points on the season now, which is bothersome. It didn't cost him the game yesterday. He's 18 of 20 on field goals. I think... you know, the field goal miss was obviously too low. You could see that without needing a trained eye. I think he was probably trying to fight the wind a little bit there. It was a 40-yarder. Wanted to keep it out of the stronger winds and just struck the ball too low. So not the best day for Cairo Santos, but I also don't think they're going to go replace the kicker with four games to go.
All right, Brad, let's get to it because you addressed this in 10 thoughts, and I think it's an interesting point. Bears right now scheduled to pitch second overall in the NFL draft that everybody's already pointing toward. This isn't a great year for quarterbacks at the top of that draft. In past years, you could see having the number two pick and teams desperate to get one of those franchise quarterbacks and giving up a king's ransom to do so. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if the Bears would want to move down from number two if they indeed stay there because of the defensive linemen who might be there to take and they don't want to miss out on. What is your sense of the way that's unfolding as you addressed it in your 10 thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of have doubts at this point that this is the kind of quarterback draft that's going to create a big-time movement near the top of the draft, and maybe I'm wrong, and it would just take one team to fall in love with one player to make some kind of trade that basically everyone else thinks is over the top to get a guy. You know, most people right now seem to think that Bryce Young is the best prospect out there. He's like 5'11", okay? He's a little guy, and that concerns a lot of people. C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, I don't know where they'll go, and they'll surely end up going higher than I probably imagine, and potentially higher than they should go. But I don't know that teams sitting there in the top five are going to be able to hold up other clubs hostage to trade those picks. I don't know this is the year that's going to happen. If it is not, that's fine. There's going to be some super talented players there, but I don't know that this is a situation where Ryan Poles can turn the number two pick or number four pick or whatever it is into multiple first round draft picks and other picks and all things shiny and bright.
I want to get back to Equanimeous St. Brown for a second. Did you kind of cut him there when we were just talking about him? It looks like, you know, he's a guy who's 6'5". He doesn't seem to use his height or size in a very good way. I don't know that there's anybody in this receiving core that you want to build around right now. I suppose Chase Claypool, there's a heavy investment there. But, you know, we heard...
How about Claypool getting hurt on the fumble? Like, yeah.
Did that bother you? That bothered Patrick Manley a little.
Well, I'm not sure he was injured. That's kind of what I'm trying to figure out there. Because you saw him go to the sideline, he was fine. Then he's jogging on the side, and you're like, well, were you hurt or were you
feelings
just hurt that you fumbled?
Yeah, David said that he saw him grimace.
Looks like he was in some pain during the replay before he fumbled, before he had the ball dislodged. Maybe it hurt a lot more when he lost the fumble, but it did appear that he was in some obvious pain. Somehow.
Right. And then I don't believe he missed a snap. Like he was on, now he's not out there every play, but that just struck me as bizarre. But back to, sorry, what was St. Brown?
I heard Jair Alexander, his former teammate, called him a scrub. And a scrub is a guy that thinks he's fly, also known as a busta. I don't know how you feel about a scrub.
Alexander was, they asked Alexander how the interception felt yesterday, and he said it felt like putting on a freshly ironed T-shirt. He said a bunch of stuff that really didn't make a lot of sense to me. Yeah, I mean, St. Brown's just a guy. And if he's not there, are you ready for more of the Velus Jones Jr. experience at wide receiver or more in Keel Harry?
Good catch.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, he did have a nice catch. I don't know that you need to send a message to your roster with 4 weeks to go that, like, hey, this isn't good enough. I'd be very surprised if the guy was in their plans for next year, and he has, you know, he has made some plays for him. He did do a nice job on the deep ball from Fields. So, you know, it sort of is what it is. You look at this Bears wide receiver group, and you know, they've gotten precisely what they paid for, really.
So,
when they've thrown the ball, because they just, you know, yesterday, 25 pass attempts. That's a bunch for them.
Yeah, and they were pretty efficient in the passing game. So I think
yes, they were.
You know, he took advantage of those opportunities, and that's what made the last 3 minutes all the more disappointing, just because he wasn't able to capitalize. All right, Brad, so we've talked a lot about Alex Leatherwood, especially with you, because I know that you've been monitoring his progress. He got 10 snaps yesterday. Do you think that moving forward, he is somebody they will go to more because of the last four games representing what they do, an opportunity to get people better for next year?
Yeah, I think it only goes up unless Leatherwood does something to change the coaching staff's mind, right? So I think you were getting him going a little bit. He only ended up with 10 snaps because a couple of those series that he was out there were really short. One of them was ended by the Claypool fumble. Another was that they had the deep pass, and then Montgomery scores on the next play. So it's a two-play possession right there. So I would think he'll get more time at right tackle. You know, Riley Reiff has done a good job in the meeting room. He's actually played maybe a little bit better than I thought he would, and he certainly logged more than enough playing time to hit the bonus in his contract that'll make him happy at the end of the year as well. So does that mean Leatherwood starts coming out of the bye against the Eagles? I don't know. Do they keep a rotation up? I think I believe if Leatherwood had blown them away in practice, we would have seen him before now, and we would have seen more of him. So that probably hasn't happened to this point, but he gets 10 snaps under his belt yesterday, and you keep an eye on him in practice moving forward, and you hope that he has opportunities so you can, you know, so he can learn and you can learn about him.
Yeah. What do you do during the bye week if you're the Bears? I mean, I think we saw them improve in the mini bye, but I don't know that you can keep churning practice squad players and think you're getting better. I don't know how you do any player development in the bye week. You're not going to have the players around. You got to give them time off, but you also can kind of look at different things. How do you find a pass rush?
Well, you're not going to find a pass rush during the mini bye because, as you guys know, the shelves down at the pass rush store are empty. Players are going to have meetings today, and I believe they're off after today until next week. I think they get the whole week off. I could be mistaken on that. Maybe Eberflus has a different plan that he announces a little bit later on today. My guess would be that the coaches work for a couple days before they get some time off to kind of, unplug and recharge a little bit. And in the couple days that the coaches work, they're probably doing a lot of what they did during that mini bye, looking at some of the players and saying, okay, what are a couple things he's doing well? What are a couple things he can get better at? And then they get, a bonus practice next Monday before that, at the start of that Eagles week. And you present a couple things to each guy to say, hey, we got four games to go, and here's two or three things we're hoping that you can make improvement on before the end of the season. And perhaps that can benefit some of these guys as they look to close out the year and then see where that'll take them in the offseason.
Did you think Montgomery should have run harder on third and five?
Oh, God.
Did that stand out to you, Brad? I'm just asking.
No, I'm going to have to go back and look at it, but no, like the whole talk of the Montgomery thing, You know, Montgomery doesn't strike me as a guy that there's ever really an effort issue with. But I guess I'll go back and look at the play again.
Dustin,
well, what did you guys think?
No,
I didn't. I mean, I got to go back and look at it.
He's not a guy whose effort I would question
ever. Yeah,
right.
Well, what about the play? What about the play?
I thought it was a bizarre play call.
I thought it was a bad play call. Yeah. I blame that on Luke Getsy more than I did David Montgomery because it's third and five. You took the foot off the gas.
You did.
You got conservative. Yeah. You played it safe.
Well, we've seen that all year, yeah. Right? We've seen these situations that look like clear throwing downs, right, where they're running it, and it's because that's kind of been their comfort spot. So. Yeah, I guess I'll go. But that's not a Montgomery issue. The effort thing, like that's what he's got going on for him. Really, yeah. When you think about it,
great stuff, Brad. As always, appreciate your time.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.